It's Tuesday, the 28th, on this Tuesday morning, listening to that intro music, I'm thinking, you know, that's Teenage Wasteland by the Who, and now sometimes wastelands expand, and those teenagers are a little bit older, and they might appreciate Medicare, Beth Ann.
Well, that was an interesting segue.
I had to make it work.
Well, obviously, and jumping from the group who listened to Teenage Wasteland, that might be really appropriate. Anyway, good morning to you. You're listening to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. That was Bill Sage. And we're going to get to our first conversation this morning. Now, if there's a senior in your family, Medicare coverage may be a topic of conversation. For that, you have President Lyndon Johnson to thank. 50 years ago this week, he signed the amendment to create Medicare. Today, many seniors can add other supplemental parts to get fuller coverage. Medicare Part C and D come at an additional premium cost, and finding the best deal from a carrier often generates some confusion. But a basic question for seniors is whether the doctor they want will accept new Medicare patients. Dr. Chris Flanders is the executive director of the Hawaii Medical Association. He's also a board member of the Quality Improvement Organization for Medicare in Hawaii. He joins us now. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
When we talk about Medicare for a lot of people, there is that sense of almost relief that they've, you know, reached 65 and now this is part of it. It's going to be picked up by the government. But then there's the other side that says it may not be enough. We've seen a lot of changes under the ACA and some changes to Medicare very recently. How much should people put faith in Medicare?
Medicare, I think what Medicare is really the train that runs the healthcare system in this country, and that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is the departmental operator of the both the Medicare and the Medicaid program are looking after that. And there's been concerns for a long time about the financial solvability of both programs. And the latest I heard, although it switches depending on the economic situation in the U.S., but that the solvability is pretty solid for the next 15 years or
so. Right, the report that came out last week, we talked about that on the program.
So the concentration at this point is how do we tweak the program so that we can extend out that solvability. And there are a lot of changes that are taking place. The state of Hawaii and all the other states are involved in innovative programs to try to figure out where money can be saved, where services can be combined into a more effective and more streamlined program and make the program more accessible and more open to patients.
Well, in a long live state like Hawaii, where do you see those potential changes happening?
A lot of the concentration is taking place in our very elderly population.
So you're talking end of life care?
End of life care as people get to the end of their life, that's where a lot of the expenditure takes place. The top 10% of the users of Medicare account for about 60% of the expenditures. So there's been some concentration on what programs or what services can we change in order to save money there. Do we need to do these things? Shouldn't we do someplace else? And one of the big areas in end-of-life care that's evolved over the last couple of decades is the hospice program, and really has become a very effective manager in end-of-life care and, you know, making people comfortable and as they reach the end of their lives. So it's programs like that that probably are going to be developed and will continue to be developed as we go forward.
Now, for that other 40% of the expenditures, which is being driven by those people who are not at that point in time that you've just talked about, but who are regular users of Medicare for all of their needs, from wellness checkups to very specific conditions that they may have. The big concern in Hawaii has been for a very long time, how do you find a doctor who will take Medicare, given the fact that payments have stayed pretty flat to the doc for the last 12 years or so, and that every doctor seems to have a cap of the number of Medicare patients he or she is willing to take. We've got an aging population. We know that we've got doctor shortage that we've had for a very long time that doesn't look like it's getting any better. That seems to be a very bad combination for people who are not at the end of their lives but who need to see doctors for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years perhaps.
Yeah, that's right. The shortage of physicians has really been a concern. We work on that constantly. What is it that we can do to change various sections of our healthcare system to make Hawaii a more attractive place to come and to stay? And so those continue. With Medicare, part of the issue is also our high cost of doing business. And that's something, a lot of that we can't really do much about. But some of the things that we can change, we probably need to take a look and see what those are and how we might be able to tweak those. One of the issues, and you alluded to it a little bit, is that the fee schedule is set nationally, and the high cost of living areas like Hawaii, New York City, the Bay Area to some extent, the nation has a hard time adjusting those costs to offset the rapidly changing cost of doing business. And that's something we've had conversations with our federal representatives in D.C. about what we might be able to do on that side to improve that.
Is there anything to do?
There's an adjust that is possible to adjust. It's adjusted in every 3 years or so. The CMS, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, takes a look at it every 3 years and makes an adjustment. The problem is that the budget in Medicare is a zero-sum game. So if you adjust upward in one section, you've got to make cuts in another section. And, you know, everybody wants to hold on to their piece of the pie. So that becomes a political struggle. And so we'll see where that goes. We're going to have to be keep our eyes open and see when opportunity arises if we can take advantage of it. That would be a big step. The thing we have to remember about the healthcare system, and particularly in Hawaii more so than a lot of other states, is that our physician population is set up of mostly solo practitioners. And essentially they're running mom and pop shops. And so they have business concerns that they have to take into consideration. So the Medicare reimbursement has played a part in that if commercial insurance is a little more lucrative, they've got to do that they've got to take more of that to pay the bills. But, you know, I give the physicians of Hawaii all the credit in the world, because Medicare, which is about a break-even proposition for a physician, they're still in there seeing all the patients they can. And Medicaid, which pays about half the fees of Medicare, they feel that that's their ethical responsibility. So a lot of them are still seeing Medicaid patients as well.
As you look at the patients that you know come through the doors and who are Medicare patients, are they all being seen? What portion of them is being shut out?
You know, everybody has the opportunity to be seen in one way or another. The issue there is the expense. If they can't get in to see a family practice physician, for example, and they've been injured or they're sick, the emergency rooms are always open. But, you know, that brings in problems of its own, that the emergency room costs are
not necessarily the most effective place for them to be going.
Right, and there's several factors higher in cost. So that's really what you want to head off. Part of that is going to come to filling in the access areas with additional physicians, and it comes back to what can we do to make Hawaii an attractive place to come to into practice. So it's kind of a numbers thing in a lot of ways.
And that's not necessarily good news for people who are listening now and who have seniors in their families or may be seniors and thinking,
right,
what do I do when I'm trying to find a doctor? Do you sort of beg your way in if you have a friend, a friend, a friend, and network your way into a doctor's office?
Right. And part of the issue, too, is with the physicians that we have, what we can do is work toward making practices more efficient and more streamlined so that the physician's not spending so much time doing administrative work, that there's more time toward patient care. And that's kind of a struggle that we're having right now with the changes that have been made by the Affordable Care Act, with physicians having to have computer systems now. And if, for those of us who have been to a physician lately, he spends more time looking at the computer screen than looking at me. At least that's our perception. So, and that'll change with time. But these administrative things, if we can cut those down to the benefit of allowing physicians more time with their with patients and patient care.
Very quickly, any advice you would give to someone who is a Medicare patient and looking for a doc?
You know, I think just be persistent. There are physicians out there who are trying to, you know, who are still building their practices. We graduate a new bunch every July 1, and they're setting up their practices and getting started. Try not to go to the emergency room if you don't have to, but be persistent, call around, and I think that with time you'll be able to locate somebody.
All right. Thanks so much for coming in. We need a longer conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you. Dr. Chris Flanders is the Executive Director of the Hawaii Medical Association. He is responsible for healthcare policy formation and advocacy for the HMA. He also serves on the board of directors of the Mountain Pacific Quality Health Foundation. That's the quality improvement organization for Medicare in Hawaii.